Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, January 30th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
That's clear, concise, and well presented.
Why, thanks. We're back with more of the Erotic Mind series. But today, we return to our roots, the world of words. After a couple of weeks of chat with a noted erotic visual artist, the series resumes with a conversation with an established erotic literary artist. I have the pleasure of welcoming no less than the New York Times and USA Today best-selling author, Christine Warren.
Fairly. You haven't got the feel of this at all, lad. Use all your voices. When I bellow, bellow back.
I thought you said I was doing a really good job. And as a special treat, Christine reads from her novel, One Bite with a Stranger. You're going to love this. Christine invites you to visit her on her site, cleverly named ChristineWarren.net. But that's not all. She's also on Facebook and Twitter, too, and look for all these links in today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com.
Oh, by the way, you're better at this than I thought you'd be.
Well, that's good to know, although you're confusing me. Listen, before we get started, we have a word from our sponsor. HotPlusSizeLingerie.com, that treasure trove of sexually stimulating lingerie, hosiery, bodysuits, costumes, shoes, and much, much more. Look for their lovely banner in the sidebar of my site, DrDicksSexAdvice.com. Did you know that HotPlusSizeLingerie.com is the leader in sexy plus-size lingerie and intimate apparel on the net? Well, they are, don't you know? They carry one of the largest selections of the latest and hottest styles from the leading lingerie designers in the industry. They always offer their customers their lowest price guarantee, and you can even get free shipping for orders over $75.
Well, what should we hang? The holly or each other?
You're getting way ahead of me. Our friends at Hot Plus Size Lingerie suggests that you sign up to receive advance notification on all their insider promotions that will save you oodles of cash. So go ahead, browse, shop, enjoy, and always feel free to contact them with questions or comments. And when you visit them, be sure to tell them, Dr. Dick sent you. Okay, on with the show. Well, if it isn't Christine Warren, welcome, darling, and thank you for joining us here at DrDicksSexAdvice.com. I am totally stoked that we have this time to be together, and I'm honored to be in such smutty company.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure so far.
Oh, well, it's early, so. So would you like to say hello to all the nice people? I know they're dying to meet you.
I would love to. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Good, good, good. So ever since our mutual friend Switchy Sam told me that what a hot shit you are, I couldn't wait for the opportunity to have you on my show. I told Sam that I wanted to take a peek into your amazing erotic mind, and Sam said that she didn't know if you would go for it, but that I should pitch you nonetheless. And because I do everything that Sam tells me to do, I wrote to you, invited you to the show, and you graciously agreed. So yay for that. I guess we both owe a big shout-out of thanks to Sam for this extraordinary connection.
Absolutely. Sam is fabulous, and I especially like it when she tells people I am too.
By the way, how long have you and Sam known each other? And dare I ask how you met, knowing Sam as I do? I know that that's always a dicey question.
Probably about three and a half years now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. We met through mutual friends after I moved out here from the East Coast.
No kidding. How interesting. How interesting. Well, Before we get started in earnest, I want to make sure that you know that you are welcome to burst into reading examples of your work at any moment. Because talking about the erotic mind is swell and all, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
So let's begin at the beginning. Is okay. Christine Warren your real name, or a nom de plume, or nom de smut, as the case may be?
It is a pen name.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
So why did you choose to write under a pseudonym?
Mostly because I have an interest in writing all sorts of different things.
I see.
And in the publishing industry, it can be difficult to jump from one genre to another if
so true.
Your name is attached to something in particular.
Right, right.
So it's mostly a matter of keeping future options open.
And, you know, I want to touch on this later, but I still think that there's a lot of discrimination on the part of, you know, publishers and whatnot toward erotica, right?
Absolutely. And there's a huge stigma as well. I consider myself more a romance author than
yes.
a strict erotica author.
Yes.
And there's still a huge amount of prejudice against romance
right.
novelists.
Wow.
So.
Wow. That's so amazing. It's astonishing, especially since, you know, this genre, mm-hmm. both romance and erotica, especially
uh-huh.
if you add them both together, they
sure.
make up a huge audience, right?
Oh, romance is the largest segment by far of mass market paperback book sales.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
Goodness. So I've been spending a lot of time on your website, ChristineWarren.net. My, you are an accomplished woman, and so adorable, too. How do you stand yourself?
I don't. I think I'm powerful.
I love it. And apparently, you're not just a pretty face. You're a prolific author, avid animal enthusiast, and you even have a little shoe fetish going on. Have I left anything out?
Well, there's my Kate Spade handbag fetish, too.
Oh,
there's
really?
Yeah.
So how many publications, hard copy and web-based, have you got out there?
I have at least 12 novels.
Wow.
And more in the works. And I have, right now, 2 web-based short stories out there, too.
Wow. So you're predominantly a novelist?
Yes, I would say that.
Is writing a novel different than writing a short story? Is it a different
Absolutely.
Skill set?
Absolutely. It's completely different.
Oh,
and in a lot of ways, it's easier than writing a short story.
Is that right?
Yeah, you have so much more time and space to mm-hmm. warm to your subject and explore your idea. When you're writing a short story, you have to pack all of the character, all of the development, all of the plot in such a small amount of
right.
space of wordage that can be really challenging sometimes.
Well, interesting. So I noticed that your Facebook page reads, Christine Warren is the New York Times and USA Today's best-selling author
mm-hmm.
of the novels of the Others,
yes.
a series of paranormal romance novels published by St. Martin's Press. A New York Times best-selling author, huh? Holy cow.
Yes.
I believe that's a first for this show.
It's a lovely thing to be able to tack on to your name.
Oh, I guess so. Tell us about this series of novels. I understand that you have 8 titles in this series, or is all 12 of your titles belong to the series?
All 12 of my titles.
Oh, is that right? I see.
And it's, like I said, I lose track because the series originally started as ebooks. So they have gradually moved into print publication. So some books that I consider part of the series have already been written in e-form but haven't yet made it into print publication.
Oh, I see.
So I lose track over how many are actually out there.
Yeah. Do you have the same publisher publishes all of your work, St. Martin's?
Yes, they publish all of my print work.
Interesting. Oh, interesting.
So generally, I save this area of discussion for later in the interview, but I'm just going to make an exception today. You proudly identify yourself, as you just said, as a romance author, as opposed to an erotica author.
Right.
In the past, there used to be a pretty definite line between the two genres, but not so much anymore. So let's talk about that some, shall we?
Absolutely.
Good.
It really has, I think, blurred a bit. I think there's still a big divide just because of the unfortunate stigma, I think, that's still attached to erotica, which a lot of people identify with pornography.
Yes.
And not that there's anything wrong with either pornography or erotica. but there's a large segment of the romance community, I think, that doesn't really want to be identified with erotica. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, since I would say the mid-90s, there actually has evolved what really is a new genre in its own right called romantica.
No kidding.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Which kind of blurs the lines in a way that is specifically geared toward women, because it brings in the kind of, you know, more detailed sex scenes that you would find in erotic writing,
mm-hmm.
but really frames them within the context of deep emotional relationships right. that you find in romance.
Right.
So the line has definitely changed over the past 15, 20 years or so.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing this?
I have been writing now for almost 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you identify your stuff as romantica?
I did when I first started writing. When I published my first book online, it was for a romantica e-publisher. Now that I'm publishing with a mainstream publishing house, there's still absolutely sex in my books. but I think it's a matter of as horrible as this is to say, the amount per novel is slightly less in a romance publication, just because it is published under the auspices of romance.
Mm-hmm.
The publishers and the audience expect the focus to be not on the physical relationship, but on the emotional relationship.
Right. Do you get guidelines, so to speak, and, you know, you can't exceed X amount of sexual encounters in any given chapter or book? Or
no, it's nothing so specific as that. It's more a matter of, you know, if I handed in a book where my editor thought that there was too much sex and not enough plot development, it wouldn't be about taking out the sex. It would be about adding
in. Oh, interesting. How interesting. That's
yeah.
fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time when I used to be put off by romance authors. They would bring me to all the way to the door, so to speak, but never invite me in. That doesn't happen nowadays, as you are saying, that now you can enter the bedroom with the characters, and you know, and you can, you know, read the sex scene, but you, as you say, it's couched in this emotional connection that the characters have.
Mm-hmm. I call that old-fashioned bringing you up to the bedroom door, not in the Captain Kirk syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Because if you ever remember on the old Star Trek, even though Captain Kirk slept with every alien woman he came in contact with, they always just showed them kissing, and
yes.
then after the commercial yeah. break, he would be sitting on the edge of the bed pulling on his boots.
Yeah. Thanks, ma'am.
You know, right now, romance is a huge, very diverse field. So you have everything from sweet romances,
mm-hmm.
where the couple may kiss and embrace, but that's as far as you'll see on the page, all the way up to something more like romantica, where full sex scenes are included and you know, considered fairly integral to the story. So, and then you have subsets like Christian romance,
yes,
where the couple has to be married before
right.
there's any intimacy. And
right.
then you have, you know, all sorts of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's good for a reader because you can find pretty much anything you're looking for.
Is there a warring between the subgenre? Like, we are true romance and you guys are smutty romance and neener, neener, neener kind of stuff?
I can't say there's not any of it, but I don't... I can never say there's not any of it. I don't think it's a huge issue. I think people who write more similar stories are more inclined to congregate together.
I see.
And everyone has their own opinion over that's not romance, that's smut, or, you know, that's not romance, that's an episode of Mr. Rogers. So, you know, it's... Everyone gets
good.
To have their own opinion, but I don't. I wouldn't say there's a huge amount of infighting or anything.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to know.
And, you know, like I said, romance has evolved over the past 15, 20 years especially. And even back in the 70s and 80s, you had what we call now, affectionately referred to as bodice rippers,
mm-hmm.
Which were those stories about the pirate who captures
right.
the English Miss's ship and kidnaps and ravishes her on the high seas.
Yes.
So, you know, we all have our different genres that have evolved over the past
yeah.
few years.
So there's a long history to this, I'm guessing. And one could trace one's the genres back to, you know, maybe Jane Austen or before.
Absolutely. Jane Austen was absolutely a romance novelist. You know, and if you go back, Shakespeare wrote romance, and
yes.
Chaucer pretty much wrote erotica. So,
it's
so everything goes back. The human condition is what everyone is writing about. So it alters the way back to one place.
So do you see any connection with this this modern day, in the last 12, 15 years, as you were talking about, this modern day blurring of the lines between erotica and romance? Is there any connection between, you know, the evolution or development, or one might say liberation of women's sexuality?
I think there has to be. I think that once women decide to take control of their own sexuality, expressing it and sharing it and writing about it and reading about it is just sort of a natural evolution. I also think that culture as a whole, in addition to just women, has changed over the past 20 years. You know, talking about sex is a lot easier and more common now than it was back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
We see sex more on TV, we see sex more in movies, we
yes.
just talk about sex more openly as a culture, and the more we do that, the more room there is for people who write about sex and love, or one or the other, or both,
mm-hmm.
to express it openly and in different forms.
Interesting. So there's less and less of a stigma attached to someone going into a bookstore and picking up a romance or even a romantica title and, you know, proudly reading it on the bus or, you know, in the park or something like that.
I'm not so sure about that. I think it really depends on the person and their personal experience. I mean, my family is very supportive of what I do and have always encouraged me to be a writer and are proudly display my titles all over the house. At the same time, you know, my mother and father do occasionally still ask me when I'm going to write a real book. and of course, they don't mean anything
right,
by it.
Right, right,
but,
right.
Some of that stigma does still exist.
Right.
I've heard lots of people tell stories about how, you know, they would buy interchangeable covers for the books
true.
That they would read on the subway or on
yes.
the bus.
Right.
There's actually a great website called Smart Bitches Trashy Books.
I love
and it's wonderful. They they blog about romance and they read and review, and they really make a strong statement about how the old stigma of romance being something that not very intelligent housewives read is ridiculous. And that, you know, if Jane Austen wrote romance, then we can write romance and we can read it and enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with it. But there is still a little bit of that disdain that follows both readers and writers of romance around.
Would you care to share a juicy tidbit of your writing with us now?
There's only so juicy I'll do on the air. Well, I'll get you a little taste. This is actually from the rewritten and re-edited version of my very first novel that was originally published as an ebook, but when it came into print, it was expanded and edited. It's called One Bite with a Stranger. She remembered nothing until he flipped the switch on her bedside lamp, and her consciousness turned on as well. She came back to herself in a flash and found herself standing in the middle of her bedroom, with her nipples hard and her body aching, and the hot, dark depths of his eyes threatening to swallow her whole. "Oh my God," she said, taking a frightened step back. A surge of adrenaline made her tremble, and she locked her knees to keep from falling. "We're in my apartment. I brought you to my apartment. I don't do this kind of thing. I don't understand what's happening." His voice caressed her as surely as a touch. "There's no need to be afraid, Regina. What you've done in the past has no relevance here. All that happens this night happens only at your wish." She shook her head. "No, I didn't wish this up. This is your idea. It must be." Wrapping her arms around herself, she shivered. Or did she tremble? "What are you doing to me?" "Only as you wish, Dushka," Dmitri murmured, prowling toward her in the dim light. "Only what pleases you." She retreated from him, shaking her head. "You can't be real. This can't be real. I must have made you up, because no one could possibly do what you're doing to me." "What am I doing to you, Regina?" "Making me want to beg for touch." She ignored the thought. "You're scaring me." That sounded like a much safer response. Dmitri came closer, and she retreated. They danced those same steps over and over until he backed her into the smooth wood of her bedroom door, and Reggie had nowhere else to go. He leaned close. "It's not fear that causes your heart to race, Milaya." He reached out, making her jerk back nervously, but he just brushed a stray tendril of hair from her face and held her gaze with his. "It's not fear that makes your breath quick and your mouth dry. It's not fear that tightens your nipples and dampens your panties. It's want." Reggie's thighs clenched. His words made her hotter than she'd been the last time she'd come, and he wasn't even touching her. "You can't be doing this to me," she said, hoping she could make the words chew by speaking them. "This can't happen." Dmitri chuckled, a deep rumbling sound that resonated in her head and her heart and deep inside her womb. "You'll be amazed by all the things that can happen, Milaya, if you'll just let go and trust me."
Very cool. I can see why you're a best-selling author. So I actually, as much as I like sexy stories, and I do love sexy stories, I do like character development. I like the fact that, you know, people are more than, or the stories that I'm reading are more than just bumping parts.
Absolutely. And to me, that's one of the fundamental differences between pornography and erotica or romance, is that pornography is about the bumping parts.
Mm-hmm.
It has the very specific purpose of bumping the parts together in order to elicit a response from a person reading it.
Right.
You know, erotica and romance, I think, have to be about what's going on inside the person's head. Otherwise, it's, you know, tab A, slot B. How many different ways are there really to talk about that?
Right. And it seems to me that vocabulary is also really an important kind of thing. Do you find yourself shying away from, you know, more graphic words to depict, like, genitals and, you know, sexual acts and stuff?
You know, I've used all those dirty little words in the past, and I don't particularly object to them. But I think that in some senses, because they have a pre-programmed response that they elicit from people when they hear them or read them,
yes.
just because of their place in
yes.
our culture,
yes.
I think that if you're writing specifically about the emotion and what's going on in the person's head while these sensations are happening to them, I think they can almost jar you out of that moment.
Yes.
So while I think they have their place, and their place is occasionally in one of my stories, I think if that's the sum total of the vocabulary, then it can sort of take you away from the experience that you're trying to create for the reader.
Interesting. But you don't necessarily shy away, but as you say, it, you know, because of the cultural implications of the words, they can actually detract from what you're painstakingly, you know, trying to develop.
Right, and a lot of it is a personal reaction, too. I mean, a word that I find particularly repulsive, someone else might
yeah.
shrug off and not have a problem
yeah.
with. So
right.
it's a fine line sometimes. It's,
huh.
it's a bit of a dance.
Yeah.
Interesting. But there are ones that I pick and choose and use occasionally, ones that I use more often, and ones that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pen. So.
I love it. So, before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Can you give us a brief bio? Tell us lots of interesting stuff about yourself, where you were born, raised, schooled. I want to hear more about your animals. are you married? Do you have a partner or partners? The Pacific Northwest being the poly capital of the world, don't you know?
I do know. I will tell you those details, whether you find them interesting or not.
All right.
I was born and raised in New England, in
mm-hmm.
Connecticut. Left there to go to college in New Jersey, where I lived for quite a while. And in 2008, I crossed the Great Divide and relocated out here to the West Coast. At the moment, I'm not married. I am not poly, although I know many people who are in lovely poly relationships, and I adore them and wish them all wonderful things. And yeah, this part of the world is quite rife with poly. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, too, that even has made its way into Romantica these days.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not so much in romance, because that it sort of has built its world and its reputation on the single partner
right.
paradigm.
Right.
But in Romantica, there's a huge subgenre of what they refer to as ménage, but really is poly romance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. And how about the pets? Tell us about your animals.
Yes, the animals. I've always been an animal lover and will one day probably wind up as the crazy cat lady sitting down the street, and they find her after her cats have snacked on her a few weeks. I am actually more the dog person than the cat person. So I have two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I have Levi, who's the Bernese Mountain Dog, who's in my photo on my book jacket.
Yes.
He's my fluffy boy. And then I have a female mastiff named Grendel, after the monster in Beowulf.
Wow. Big doggies.
I do. I'm a big doggy person. And I also have a horse who, well, he doesn't live in the house, lives nearby and keeps me entertained and impoverished. So.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Good. So, you are one of my Pacific Northwest neighbors. How did you find your way to this neck of the woods, or what compelled you to mosey this side of the Rockies?
I threw a dart at a map.
Oh, did you really? That's how I kind of found my way up here.
Yeah, it's kind of the short answer. I was living in New Jersey and writing, but also working a full-time desk job, and I wanted to stop that. But the cost of living in the Northeast is hideous. So I was looking to move to a slightly less expensive part of the country, but avoid the parts of the country that don't suit my political and cultural beliefs quite as much. So I have family
means the left coast.
Yeah.
And everything in between, not so much.
Yeah, pretty much the less goes more. I have family who lives in the South, and I have lived there for brief periods of time. And while it's a beautiful area, it's not so much where I wanted to put down roots. So, yeah, it was pretty much the left coast. I had a very good friend who was living in Texas at the time and looking to do pretty much the same thing that I was with moving to a different part of the country. So we talked to each other briefly, and she said, well, I hear Portland is nice. And that's pretty much where we ended up.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is nice, is it not?
It's beautiful and wonderful. There's everything you could ever want within an hour, from beach to mountains to forests to volcanoes. and the cost of living is enough to make it so that I'm a full-time writer, which was really what I was looking for.
Wow, that is so amazing. Good for you. Yeah, do you happen to know other people who write the same kind of stuff as you in the area?
Actually, my very close dear friend and the person I moved out here with also writes, not full-time, but is also a writer of romance and romantica. Does great romantic comedy, actually. Hannah Murray.
Oh, how cool.
And I know there's at least one other paranormal romance author who lives actually in the same town that I do. But the Romance Writers Association of America is a huge industry group and has local chapters all over the country. And some of the, what we would call big name muckety mucks in the romance novel industry live in the Seattle area and the Pacific Northwest in general. So we're everywhere.
I was thinking back to my conversation with Shauna Germain, and she lives in Portland, I think, and she's one of my favorite, all-time favorite erotica authors. She's so brilliant and so wonderful. Anyhow, I am just looking at my clock, and I see that our time for today is up, and yet I'm just getting to the nub of you, so to speak. Any chance that you could come by again next week and continue the conversation?
I'd love to. That sounds like fun.
Yay. So I love that you didn't make me beg, because sometimes they make me beg, and it's so embarrassing on my own show. So before we go, could you give us your website address, walk us around a bit, and let us know where we can buy your work?
Absolutely. The web address is www.christinewarren.net. Don't go to .com unless you're looking for children's pageant clothes.
I love it.
And there you can find everything from a list of my books, a peek into what might be coming next, answers to frequently asked questions, which I get asked a lot because the order of my books can be a little confusing sometimes. But that is all on there, and an occasional contest or two that you can sign up for and win prizes at. So people should check it out. There's lots of information.
And we can follow you on Twitter, right?
Absolutely. I am at SparkleToes, SparkleToes. And maybe we'll talk about that story next week.
Alrighty. Good. Christine, thank you so much for being so charming and delightful and inclusive and welcoming. And we will be chatting with you again next week, and in the meantime, visiting you in cyberspace.
Sounds wonderful.
Thanks, kiddo. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this same time for part two of my conversation with Christine Warren, and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
You've got promise, lad. That's first-class thinking.
You're not going to leave me alone, huh? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Hot Plus Size Lingerie. Our sponsors have been selling plus-size lingerie on the net for over 5 years. Their site is solely dedicated to the enticing curves of a full-figured woman. Besides plus-size intimate apparel, they carry a huge selection of sexy costumes, hosiery, bodysuits, jaw-dropping shoes, and you won't find a bigger or better selection then at hotplussizelingerie.com. And you can always count on discreet billing and shipping for every order. Look for their flirty banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and visit them today. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.